So wonderful. If this is your first Christmas being saved, what a wonderful thing to gather on Christmas morning to break bread to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, we should have been out in that world getting drunk, blowing our brains, cursing, swearing, blaspheming, running after guys or running after girls or filled with a thousand things. I am so glad I'm in the house of God. I'm so glad to look around me. I am looking at living testimonies and the reality that as soon as we lose the thrill, the reality, He redeemed me, He saved me. Saints, you will become nominal in your faith. This will become a tradition. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. You'll just become nominal, traditional, dead in your work. Never lose the splendor that Emmanuel came down from heaven to redeem you and save you. He died for you. He saved you. He redeemed you by His precious blood. I'm so glad to be saved here this morning, this gathering, and just to celebrate, just to enjoy this day, remembering that He not only was sent to be born of a virgin, but He was sent to die on a cross for my sins. I'm so glad this morning. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want to give a simple exhortation this morning on this Christmas morning. Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18. And I want to start a new series. The Lord has really laid a new series on my heart for you this morning. And I believe these messages are very important. They're life-changing. I believe you in this room, you in this church, need to hear these messages. I believe that it is the Lord that speaks to us. If I thought it was only me bringing messages or creating messages, I would not preach. I would refuse to be a preacher. I would refuse to go through the motions of religion. But I actually believe that God reveals His word, that He gives specific messages at specific times, that He wants to speak to you and I in this church. And I'm very aware that the Lord is speaking to my heart on this issue. Our new series is A Man Under Authority. Now we're going to go to that text next week on New Year's. I was going to say next year, and I would have been right. Next year, Sunday morning, we are going to go to the second message, and I'm going to use that text, A Man Under Authority. But I'm preaching a few messages on a few different men. And ladies, many times we've preached on the ladies, but I want you to look at these men, men who were under authority, men who knew what it was to be under the authority of God. I believe this is life-changing. And if you miss the message this morning or in these weeks, your Christianity is going to look very different from mine. There is something about being a man or a woman under authority. And unless you know what it means to be under authority, you will never go anywhere in your Christian life. You will never go anywhere in your life, in work, or in your family. I can assure you. My message this morning, and listen to the title, it's very apt on this Christmas morning. Joseph and his journeys. Joseph and his journeys. Reading from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph. And please notice as I read, mark out Joseph. Don't just concentrate on Mary or even the person of Christ. I want you, as we read, don't get distracted with anything in this room. Don't look around. Listen this morning. Read the Word of God. Take note, because Joseph gets neglected. He gets missed. He gets ignored. But I want you to take time this morning to consider this man, Joseph. Let me read again. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, or where the Messiah of the Jews would be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. What a liar. Do you hear me this morning? What a liar. Right. Go, come tell me that I may come worship him. What a liar. It wasn't in his heart. He's a liar. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They weren't liars. That's real. They worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And then down to verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he, that is Joseph, arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for this wonderful testimony, the reality that you sent your Son, Lord God, to be born of a virgin in the form of a man. You took upon yourself even flesh. You didn't take unto you the nature of angels or the appearance of manner of angels. But my God, you took the very flesh and substance of mankind. And Lord God, you revealed yourself as God incarnate in human flesh. What a mystery. What a miracle. What a wonder. My God, the miracle wasn't in the birth of Jesus, but it was in the conception where you overshadowed that virgin womb. And my God, brought forth that holy thing, Lord God, that became the Savior of all mankind. I worship you. I bow my knee even this morning. I worship the Lamb of God. I worship the King of Israel. I worship Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel through all nations, for every generation and for all eternity. We bow the knee and we worship you and praise you. My God, teach us what it means as we look at this man, Joseph. Show us what it looks like. Show us what it means to be a man under authority. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you and bless you. Amen. My message in this series, A Man Under Authority, is Joseph and his journeys. Joseph and his journeys. I believe Joseph is one of the most neglected men in the New Testament. I believe he is one of the most remarkable men in the Bible. And yet he gets very little mention. We don't really stop and consider the man called Joseph. Mary gains the preeminence. Mary is seen as a young maiden, godly, holy, walking with God, obeying the word of God, and believing in the word of God. But her husband Joseph almost gets neglected, obscured, and forgotten about. And really, it's not surprising. Listen to me as I share with you about this man Joseph and his journeys, because I believe Joseph embodies, like few men in the Bible, he is a man under authority. If there's one great mark about his life, his entire life, his attitude towards God, towards the word of God, towards the government of his day, in his life, in every area of his life, in business, in his work, in the means of earning his money, in every area, he is a man submitted to God. He is a man under authority. He is a man who has yielded himself. Listen to this man, Joseph. Now notice here, Joseph preached no sermon. Not once in his life did he ever preach a sermon. We never read of him taking the Lord's table. We never read of him playing an instrument. We never read of him in the synagogue leading the worship and the praise of God's people. Not once. This man Joseph, he wrote no book. He wrote no letter to the church. He was not a writer. He was not a miracle worker. We don't read of him praying for the sick. We don't read of him praying any great prayer. We don't read one single prayer that he ever actually prayed. Not one single prayer. We don't read any testimony of God answered a specific prayer that he prayed. No miracles, no preaching, no ministry. None of this. None of it is here. Do you realize in the Bible we don't read one single word that Joseph ever said? We don't read one simple phrase, one response. We don't read one sentence. There's not one single word of Joseph that is actually recorded in the Bible. And we only see him briefly in the Bible. And the last time we see him is when Jesus is 12 years old, when he goes up to the temple. We never read of Joseph again. In these silent years from Jesus is 12 until he's 30, somewhere in there, Joseph died. We don't read about Joseph's birth. We don't read where he was born. We don't read about his death. It isn't recorded in the Bible. Look at the veil that covers this man. His birth wasn't worth recording. His death wasn't worth recording. His words weren't worth recording. But I want to tell you, he is one of the most remarkable men in the entire Bible. I believe he is a man under authority, though he done no miracle. We in the church of this generation, we run after or we exemplify those who do miracles. He never done that. Or we look at the great preachers or the great heroes of faith or those who pray great prayers and we say, here is an example. But he's not an example of any of those things. He is actually an example of a man that was submitted to the authority of God himself. He was a man under authority. A man who could obey commands. A man who could follow God's word. A man who said, I will follow you no matter what. A man who said, I am yielded to your will in my life. Look at Joseph. He was a satisfied man. He was satisfied to do, to be, and to live the will of God. He was a man satisfied with being under authority. He was a man who didn't seek for his preference for his life. He didn't seek for his pleasure, his comfort, or his plans to be fulfilled. You don't see any of that in his life. You don't see him making suggestions to God, or telling God what to do, or telling the Holy Spirit what to do. You better never tell the Holy Spirit what to do. You better be very careful. Anyone who commands the Holy Spirit what to do or suggests what the Holy Spirit should do, you better be very careful. You see, he was a yielded man. He didn't make suggestions to God. He didn't make one single suggestion to God in all of his life. He was a man under authority who desired to obey God and to follow God. You see, God had searched the entire nation. He searched the temple. He searched through all the preachers and the prophets. He searched through all the scribes and the Sadducees, all those who were trained in the law. God went searching in Jerusalem. He went to all the villages, all the towns, all the great areas, the famous areas of Israel, seeking a man. But do you know where he found him? He found him in a small place called Nazareth. And Nazareth was the most despised village in the entire nation. It was the most unlikely village that you'd want to be born in or live in or have a business in or raise your family in. Do you hear me this morning? If there's one place you're not going to start family, it's going to be in Nazareth. If it's one place you won't start a business, it's Nazareth. That's the one place. You see, it was the smallest and most despised village in the entirety of the nation. And yet when God goes seeking for his man, he bypassed all of the religious, all the gifted prayer warriors, all the gifted preachers, all of the trained scholars, and he finds this man called Joseph, and he says, this is my man. This is my chosen man. In fact, I have a task. I have a plan that no other man in the nation can fulfill. Only this man. It's not going to entail working miracles or preaching or being in full-time ministry. But this man is vital. In fact, he's a unique man to fulfill a unique plan in the will of God. Only he can fulfill it. And all my dealings with him is to bring him to a place of utter submission where he'll say, I'll do your will. I won't turn to the left. I won't turn to the right. I'm not going to fear men. I don't care the consequence. I am going to do the will of God. This is Joseph here this morning. He was a man under authority. He was a man under authority. He lived, worked, and began his family there in the small town of Nazareth. He was every single week, every time the door of the synagogue was open, he was there. He constantly came with his tithes in his pocket. He was a tither. He was there at every single feast in the nation. He never missed a festivity. Oh, well, my granny has come to visit. I can't go to the house of the Lord. He never once done that. He never made excuses and said, well, I've got to work on the Sabbath day. Not once did he ever do that. He didn't start saying, well, I don't really believe that God wants me to do that. I know what the Bible says, but you know, hey, let's be broad about this. He never done that. This is a man absolutely under authority. And God's watched him. And God scrutinized him. God looked at him in that small neglected village and said, you are my man for one of the greatest tasks any man is going to fulfill in this nation. No prophet is going to fulfill a greater task. No miracle worker is going to do a greater task than what he's going to do in this. I want to speak to you here this morning about Joseph and his journeys. Six short, simple journeys that define that he was a man under authority. Let me take you through these six this morning as I exhort you to be men and women who know what it is to be under authority. Joseph is an example. First of all, his first journey. He was willing to be misunderstood in his community and by his family in order to fulfill God's will in his life. Do you hear that this morning? He was willing to be misunderstood. He was willing to be rejected. He was willing to suffer for the will of God. He was willing to have people misunderstand him or to falsely accuse him. Now look at this man. He is a rare man. When we first find him, he is engaged to Mary. Mary is a young maiden. She's a godly maiden. Do you realize he'd prayed a lot for this young lady? He'd watched her. There's nothing supernatural about her. She isn't sinless, but she is a young lady in the house of God who loves God. He's watching her and he said, that's the girl for me. Maybe it was an arranged marriage. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But when we first see them, they are engaged to be married. He has actually revealed his heart to her and said, I want to spend all my days with you. I see your heart for God. I see your desire to pray. I see your desire to obey the word of God. I see you in the synagogue every week. It's a small village. I see your desire for the word of God. I can see it in you. And you know what? I want to marry you. I want to spend my life with you. I want you to raise my children. I want you to carry within your womb my children. He was a man of God. He was a godly man, and he was a hard-working man. But one day, Mary come in the door, and he looks down and he beholds, like that first day when I looked at Neve, and I walked out the door and I said, Candace, she's pregnant. She's got a bump on her belly. She didn't have it a week ago. But I assure you, one look and I say, I know she's pregnant. Do you realize there was a day when Mary walked in the door, and Joseph, his eyes dropped to her belly, and he goes, what have you done? What have you done? And he actually found her pregnant. And she starts to tell him this remarkable story. The angel of the Lord came unto me and actually said, that holy thing is going to be born of me, is the Messiah of Israel. And you know what? He didn't just take her word for it. He come to a place of utter disappointment. And the Bible actually says he was thinking on these things. Think about it. She's told him what happened. And he's going, nah, I love her. I care about her. I'm so disappointed. How could she play around with men? How could she do this to me? My future is bust. It is broken. Do you know he could have married her and just carried on, but he's a holy man. He says, I'm not marrying any harlot. I'm not marrying any liar. I'm not marrying a religious deceiver. I want to marry a holy young girl who's a virgin. And he knew what the Bible said. She ought to be stoned for what she has just done. But he didn't want to do that. He loved her. He cared about her. And he's thinking on these things. And he's saying, oh God, what am I going to do? I'll put her away secretly, privately. I don't want her to die. I don't want her to be stoned to death. So I'll put her away quietly. And nobody will know. We'll do it secretly, privately. But I'm not going to marry her. Do you know, an awful lot of people don't have integrity. But this young man, Joseph, said, I want to walk with God. I don't want to be getting in a wrong marriage. So that actual This betrothal, this engagement, he says, I'll put her away secretly, and that'll be the end of it, but I won't marry her. I'm not going to marry her. Do you know, the brother who came here, went to Kenya, he risked and endangered his marriage for the sake of walking before God. We need this. This is a man under authority. He says, I don't want to be in a wrong marriage. I'd rather be single than marry the wrong person. Even if I love her, even if I've made the plans, even if I'll say, what am I going to do? There's no other girl in the village. Nazareth is a small place, and if I don't get Mary, there isn't anybody else I love. There isn't anybody else I care about. It's a small place. There isn't a big choice here. If I don't marry her, I'll be single maybe the rest of my days. But do you know what he said? I'm going to stay single because I want to walk before God. Do you know he was confused? Do you know his heart was broken? Do you know his plans were in smithereens? Do you know all of his desires, all of his dreams, they come to ashes that day? But do you know why? It was a choice. He's a man under authority. We were actually told he had a dream in the night, and the angel of the Lord come unto him and said, Joseph, don't be scared to take her. That holy thing conceived in her womb is of me. This is the Lord's Messiah. Do you realize at that point he discovered God's will for his life? He is a carpenter. He is a hard-working man. He's not a preacher. He's not a church leader. He is someone who works with his hands and just loves the Lord. But in that one single moment, he suddenly realized what his plan, what God's plan for his life was. What is it? You're going to look after that mother. You're going to raise that child as your own. You're going to be the stepfather of this child. I want you to raise him in the things of God. I want you to earn money and provide for him. I want you to build a house and provide for this little family. You see, the angel of the Lord revealed the plan of God. And do you know what the result of that was? Do you know his family didn't understand his decision? Here's a young pregnant girl. Do you realize shame came with the will of God? Do you realize family and friends talked about him? Can you imagine him trying to reveal and explain God's will? But you don't understand, this is God's will for my life. You've got to understand, I'm an obedient person to the word of God. And there they're saying, you're disobedient, your wee girl's pregnant out of wedlock. Look at how you're conducting your life. You see, they thought his marriage was sinful, was of a lesser degree, and wasn't in line with God's word. But saints, his marriage was in the will of God. He married her in the will of God, and it had the blessing of heaven actually upon it. That was the first journey that he actually made. It was a journey into marriage, a journey into misunderstanding, but it was a journey into the will of God and the word of God. This is the most remarkable will for a man. God had actually said, I want you to care for Mary, and I want you to care after this little baby that's going to be born. He will be the Messiah. Saints, can you imagine that? I'm not calling you to preach. I'm not calling you to pray. I'm not calling you to work miracles. I'm not calling you to feed the poor. I am calling you just to do the will of God. Secondly, the second thing here, a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If you look at the life of Joseph, it's filled with journeys, remarkable journeys. They weren't adventures. They weren't mission trips. They weren't evangelistic trips to smuggle Bibles into Asia. They weren't mission trips to Africa to preach to leaders. And these mission trips were so nominal. They were actually practical. They were in relation to family and economics. They were nothing dynamic. They really weren't, and yet it was in the will of God. The second thing, a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is the first journey. And notice why it comes. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of the entire Roman Empire, he makes a decree. Now this is in the will of God. But Joseph doesn't initially realize it. Was Caesar Augustus wicked or was he righteous? You see, in our thinking, we can think, if a ruler is wicked, we don't obey him. But if a ruler is righteous, then we obey him. And that is unbiblical. The Bible says, obey them who are put in authority over you. We don't sin We certainly don't obey them in sinning, but we have a respect. Do you realize in this little village of Nazareth, Mary is pregnant. Joseph has actually taken her as his wife. He's married her in a public wedding. And here's a decree reaches the little village of Nazareth. It is a political movement in the entire empire. This is a small village. And Caesar Augustus gives the decree and he says, wherever you were born, you need to go back there and register. And I want it on this date. You've got so many weeks to do it. You've got to do it. Look at Joseph. He's now got a pregnant wife. She's heavily pregnant. She's pregnant with the Messiah. She isn't just initially pregnant. She is carrying weight. She doesn't want to move, I can assure you. And yet he has got to register and he's got to travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth because that was his birthplace. Now look at it. This is a political decision by a wicked Caesar. Augustus, if you know anything about him, he was a wicked man. Do you know what the symbol was in Roman coins that he put there? The woman riding the beast on the seven hills of Rome. That was the symbol of Augustus Caesar. And here he is, he's saying, I want you to do this. He's a wicked man, he's an evil man. And here's Joseph saying, this is going to be a hard journey. It's 70 miles or 110 kilometers. And do you know what? He's going to have to put the mother with that child to be and that little donkey. What is God's will for Joseph? You're going to pull a donkey all over Israel and then down to Egypt. This is my will for you. I want you at the front of that donkey. I don't want you in front of an army or in the front of a church. I want you to be leading a donkey into my will. Notice here that Joseph was submitted to the government. The politics, the authority in the nations. Can you imagine if he'd been a rebel, a provo? You know? Up 1916, you know, standing for our rights. We're going to fight the Romans. You would have missed the greatest plan for your life. Look at this man. He says, the decree comes, I will be going to Bethlehem. Mommy, get on the donkey. I'm going to take you the 70 miles. Can you imagine the effect on your feet walking that 70 miles on that journey with a pregnant woman? Can you imagine how many times she had to get off the donkey? Can you imagine providing for her, caring for her all through that journey? Well, we know he got to Bethlehem. And do you realize though it was a decree from the leader of the Roman Empire? It was the fulfillment of prophecy. Where did the Old Testament say the Messiah would be born? In Bethlehem. That's where the Messiah's got to be born. As he drags that donkey, he's got that donkey and he's walking to Bethlehem. I'm just obeying the government. Do you realize many Christians get out of the will of God because they don't obey the laws of the land? If you don't insure your car, if you work when you shouldn't work, if you do 1,000 things, I tell you, you have just stepped out of being a man under authority. Yes. You won't obey the laws of the land. How will God bless you? Yes. I want to show you, I would rather starve than break the law of the land. Yes. All of us have broken the speed limit. I'm sure it's sometime. But I assure you, it's wrong. Yes. You cannot justify it or say it doesn't matter. It is wrong. And if you get caught and you use some sarcastic statement in a place, you are in trouble. You really have an attitude. I don't care if the policeman or the Garda is a wicked, corrupt Garda. Many of them are. But you better say, yes, sir, no, sir. Amen. You know what? It's not him that you're honoring. It's not him. Yeah. It is God. How? I honor the living God by this means. You see, Joseph was a man who would have paid his water bills. He would have. But here he is on his journey to Bethlehem. Look at providence. Look at circumstance. Look at the social events of politics in his nation. And yet, do you know what's happening? As he submits to that decree, God is fulfilling prophecies that are thousands of years old. Hundreds of years they've sat there saying the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem. Here's a man with a donkey and he's going to fulfill it. You better be very careful. If you judge with your eyes, you'll say that this church, what's going to come out of this church? I tell you, I'm a man under authority. I am here because I'm submitted to the authority of God. I ain't moving out of it. It may look like I'm dragging a donkey sometimes, but I assure you, prophecies that are hundreds of years old will get fulfilled. Men have prayed in these streets of Limerick hundreds of years ago. I mean men of God. It is going to get fulfilled. We're the last generation. It all comes at this point. Look at him as he goes to Bethlehem to be registered. He has to leave his work, leave his home, leave his village. Thirdly, a journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Here they are back in Nazareth again with their little family, the young family. And he's there. You'll know that in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to the Messiah. He had to be born there. Joseph didn't want to go there. But after that, they returned to Nazareth again. And look, they make another journey by donkey to Jerusalem. It is actually a distance of 75 miles or 120 kilometers. This was 40 days after the birth. 40 days Mary had to go through the religious ritual. In other words, she had to be clean. At the end of that 40 days, she still feels the effects of her pregnancy. She has gone through an awful lot. But here's Joseph getting her on a donkey again. And they're going up to Jerusalem. Why do they go up? Because the word of God says it. Do you remember in Nazareth? He had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day in the synagogue. Why? It was the word of God. Look at this man. He says, Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth will get circumcised on the eighth day. On the 40th day, we're going up to Jerusalem and we're going to go in there. And here he offered a poor man sacrifice. He wasn't rich. He didn't have lots of money. He couldn't pay the normal sacrifice, couldn't afford it. So he actually bought the poor man's sacrifice. That's all he had. Look at him, he's dragged that donkey all the way to Jerusalem. He goes into the house of God and he comes with that little sacrifice. And they're going to dedicate baby Jesus to the Lord. They're offering him up. This is the tradition and culture of the house. Look at this home. Here is a man submitted to the word of God. It's not the ninth day. How many Christians would do it? Sure, I'll get him circumcised the ninth day. Or hold on, I don't want to miss out my fun, so let's circumcise him the seventh day. Saints, I'm telling you what I watch all the time in the church. I have watched it all my life. I'm watching it still. God help us, we mustn't have it in this church. If you think you can change, well, what's the difference between the seventh day and the ninth day? It doesn't really matter. You're not a man under authority. If you cannot obey the written scripture, if you're not there saying, but the word of God says it, it reveals your heart. Doesn't reveal the preacher's heart. If you're there with a casual attitude, the word of God is there. Well, I'll pray about it. You're a rebel. Amen. Do you hear me? If the word of God says something and you reject it and say, oh, well, you know, you are a rebel. You're not a man under authority. You see, this is what Joseph was. He's getting circumcised the eighth day. On the 40th day, we'll make that journey up to Jerusalem. And look at him. This is all obedience to the word of God. No prophecy to say, go to Jerusalem. No prophecy, no dream. They had the dream about the child. But here he is. He's coming up to the house of God. And here comes an old man of God to prophesy over him. And he says, see this child. This child is going to rule in Israel. It was a prophecy from the Lord. Do you realize if he wouldn't have been there in that day, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have led that man to him. We disobey the word of God and we ask for prophecy. Lord, send a prophet. Why would he? You don't even obey the word of God. Amen. Oh Lord, send me an angel. Do you know what? You wouldn't listen to the angel. Do you know how I know? Because if you don't obey the written scriptures, the word in your hand, if you don't even read it, no angel is coming to you. God won't waste a journey. The angel say, well, go speak to him. Don't bother. Yeah. if he won't obey my word, if he won't read my word, if he doesn't fear my word, no angel is going to make a difference. So you go around telling everyone, do you know I had an angel come to me? Do you know what the angel said? And he'll still walk in disobedience. But not Joseph. There he is, that's 75 miles. He makes that journey. He's in the will of God saying, I want my entire family to be governed by the word of God. Can I ask you, are you a man or a woman under authority? Is your life in order? Is your finance in order? Is your attitude to the governments and the social welfare in order? Are you doing everything in order? Are you a person under authority? Because if you don't respect the government, you don't respect God. If you don't respect the house of God, you do not respect God. If you can't even honor him with your finances, you have no fear of God. You do not love God. Do you hear me this morning? Money reveals an awful lot about your heart. An awful lot. That's why you're not to put a man in leadership who loves money. Because that attitude towards money reveals everything about him. It reveals his heart. I love God. Do you?
Yeah.
Will you pay your bills? Will you give to God what is rightfully his? If you don't, you're a rebel. You're not a man under authority. You are a rebel in the house of God, and you want forgiveness, and you want heaven, and you want all the blessings, and you want him to answer prayers, but you rebel against his word, the simple commands of his word. The fourth journey, a journey from Nazareth to Egypt. They were back in Nazareth, and we actually read that an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph. Again, notice how many times angels come to him. He's a man under authority. Do you know what? I wouldn't bother telling a man to do something who's always disobeying. I go, let them go. I won't even speak to them. Amen. People who listen, I speak to very carefully.
Yes.
I'm very careful how I speak to people. Do you know people who are rebels? I go, what's the point of even speaking to them? They don't want to listen. If they rebel against God and his word, they're not going to listen to me. Let them go on their merry way. But notice the Lord sends angels to him because he respects the word of God. And he respects the government. And he respects the law of the land. And he respects the practical things of life. A man like that will get an angel come out of heaven for him. A journey from Nazareth to Egypt. We actually read the angel of the Lord comes and warns him that Herod is going to kill the children. And he says, Herod will destroy this little child. Can you see the importance of God's will in this man's life? If he wasn't a man under authority, how could God trust him? Why has God given him this job, this task? Because he can be trusted. Can I ask you, can you be trusted? Could God trust you with the task of leading that donkey? Most Christians couldn't be trusted, I'm telling you. Here I'm telling you the truth. Most Christians I would not trust with getting that donkey to Egypt. They'd get waylaid. They'd say, well, sure, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, maybe I'll fit it in my plans. That's why God rarely speaks to people. You're wanting to know, why doesn't God speak to me? Maybe you don't listen. Maybe you wouldn't obey him. If he spoke to you and you disobey, that's serious. So maybe he doesn't speak to you. Why speak to you if you can't even obey simple things? If you don't have the basic order, why would he give you some word from heaven? Oh God, speak to me. Lord, send lightning. Yeah, hit you on the head. That's the only lightning that would come. It'd be dangerous. But here is the angel, he says, take this little child down to Egypt. This is about several hundred mile journey. Look at this man with his donkey, with the mother and her child, through rough terrain, desert, hot sun. I tell you, there's very little shelter in that Sinai desert between Israel and Egypt. There's very little shelter. There are mountains to cover. There are rough passes to go through. There's wild animals out there. But here's a man. He doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a gun, but he says, I'll take this little child to Egypt. Egypt was a place of protection, safety, of hiding. Look at it. It was a place of a different culture, a different language. It represented everything of this world. And he has taken that little child there. You better be careful when you go to Egypt. It can be in the will of God or it can be out of the will of God. I mean, being out there in the midst of the world. I joined the army. It was in the will of God. It would have destroyed me otherwise. But it made me a preacher of righteousness, being there in that environment. This man takes his family. You know what happened to Lot's family when he took them to Sodom? That was out of the will of God. This man had better make sure he's hearing God. Oh, well, we're just going to allow our children to go to university. You better have heard from God. Yeah. Well, we're going to move to a new town or a new city. Or I'm going to move somewhere else because of a job. Really, you better be careful you're doing for the right reason. I have known hundreds. Saints, I'm not exaggerating. I have known hundreds of cases. First hand, I've watched it. I'm telling, I preach things to you I have watched thousands of times go like this. That's why when I preach here, I'm not preaching imaginations. First imaginations, I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching the Bible. And I'm telling, I've watched people make a decision for job, or family, or money, or education. And they've got out of the will of God. They're not people under authority. Oh, but I'm gonna move for a job. Well, fine, but don't try to say it's God. Oh, God bless my job. If you're in Egypt and you're not meant to be in Egypt, you'll get yourself in trouble. Like Abraham, you'll lie about your wife. But here's a man, he's in the will of God. God says, I want to hide Mary and the child in Egypt. And I want you to go there in my will. Yes, sir. I don't want to go to Egypt. I don't want to be around another language. I don't want to be in pagans. They've got statues everywhere. I don't want to be. I want to stay in my village where they worship the Lord. But you know what? It's in your will. I'm going. I'll go to that environment. It's an act of faith. Do you realize he had to leave his work? He had to trust God for provision. He wasn't going to be able to work as a carpenter. It took faith to make that journey with the donkey. It took great faith, as much faith as a miracle. In fact, I would say more faith. Look at him. And how does God provide for him? The frankincense, the myrrh, the gold. Do you realize all that provided for the time in Egypt? If you obey God, God will provide. Amen. You can go and make your own provision. God won't be in it. Yeah. You could become the richest person in Ireland. Oh, God bless me. No, he didn't. Yeah. Riches is destroying you. Why would God give you what's going to destroy you? Be better you walk with a limp and you rely upon him. I know it's hard. I know it's hard not to have a wife. I know it's hard. Hey, until 34 years old, I thought God had forgotten me, given up me and all the rest. The big black cloud over my head, the only issue in my life. Everything else I knew God's will, but not that issue. It was like a dark hole in my life. But I'm telling you, I trusted him. Amen. I kept walking with God. I go, I don't want her if you don't want me to have her. I tell you, she's going to curse me and get me to walk away from God. I don't want her. And that's hard to say, hard to pray. But believe me, only send me someone who's going to bless me. If they're going to hinder me in my walk, I do not want them. What am I talking about? A man under authority. The fifth journey. A journey from Egypt to Nazareth. The angel comes to him again. He says, I want you to go back again to your home. And as he's journeying back, he gets the land. He hears the brother is there reigning over the nation and he gets scared. An angel comes again and says, I want you to go back to Nazareth. So he goes back there. Look at this man. Many fears. What if they come hunting for me again? You wanted me out of Nazareth, now you want me back there. Surely it's as dangerous. Surely could I not still get killed? Everyone is going to ask, where were you? Yeah. Where were you? They could kill me. Do you know what? You better not be scared for your life. Trust the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord. Believe in him. Just make sure that you are actually doing the will of God. Look at him. He comes back to Nazareth. He starts back, he opens up the door of his old carpenter shop. I'm sure the door creaked. I'm sure it's filled with cobwebs. I'm sure the sand has blown through there. I'm sure a bit of rot has got into some of the wood. And he goes in and begins his work again. But remember, he's a man with a reputation. Oh yes, remember Joseph? He had a child out of wedlock. Remember Joseph? When all of our children are getting killed in this village, he's run off to Egypt. In fact, he seemed to have inside knowledge. When they came back into the village of Nazareth, there's no kids the same age as Jesus. There's none around his age group, either older or younger. There's a whole breach in the middle of that. And look at him. You've got them coming back into that community and them saying, we remember the illegitimate child. We actually remember that you ran and we had to bury your children. You weren't even here for the funeral. You're away down there looking after your child. You must have had inside knowledge, I'm sure. It couldn't have been easy to go back to the same Nazareth. He had to open up his workplace and he was going to be honest in business. After this, he's always known as Joseph the carpenter from Nazareth. Yeah. Jesus is called the son of the carpenter. Do you realize they built a good reputation? Yeah. You're not going to sit in their seats in the claps. Do you know, there was a church once bought us a car. The only time in my life at church they got money together, they raised money, and they bought me a car because the exhaust, everything fell off that car. And it was always a miracle how it went from north to south. And so they all said, we need to get that guy a car. I was happy with it. But they bought me a car. And the pastor had the keys and he's beaming and smiling. And I said, where did you get it? And he mentioned the garage. And I went, oh no. There's one garage in the whole of Europe, I'd say, don't buy it in that garage. It was that garage. Do you know why? He was a Christian businessman. He was a crook. He was dishonest. He was twisted. He held meetings in his house. He would prophesy over people. He would preach sermons. He would pray for you to get healed. But he was the most crooked man. Do you realize I had that car 7 weeks, a good car? It looked good. It seemed good. I was so happy. The seats were beautiful. It drove so nicely. I'm out the road there. I've only had it 7 weeks and I'm driving to Shannon Airport to pick people up for the School of Christ and the engine blows up and there's oil all over the road and fire engines come. I thought, who are they coming for? They're coming for my car. Those fire engines had to clean the whole road. That was a Christian businessman. I'm going to tell you, Joseph wasn't like that.
Amen.
But lots of Christians are. I'll cut corners, then God won't bless you. Oh, but he's blessing me. Look at this. No, he's not. That's your own deceptive heart. Look at Joseph. He was honest in business. He'd done nothing illegally. He was not lazy. He built the best tables you've ever seen in your life. He built the best chairs. He wasn't trying to just produce mass. He produced quality. This is what he done. Well, Joseph, do you have enough food for the table this week? Just in the door. I'm managing okay. I'll keep working. Why not cut corners? No, I won't be doing that. I'm going to have the best furniture out there possible. Do you know as well, when he was back in Nazareth, built that family business, but he also built a family. We read in the Bible that Joseph did have other children to Mary. We read in Mark chapter 6, the brother, listen this, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon, and are not his sisters with us? He had 4 brothers. Here's Joseph raising a family. He's built a business. He stood against the reputation in that community. Here he is. He has birthed at least another several children. He is raising them. This is over a period of years. And yet we never read of his death or his burial. He never got to see the ministry of his own son, Jesus Christ. He never seen Jesus Christ shake the nation. He never seen the miraculous ministry. He never saw the first time Jesus preached in the synagogue at Nazareth. He never got to see any of it. Do you realize it wasn't God's will for him to see the crowd of several thousand? Don't look around. You look this way. Do you hear me as we close? He never got to see any of that. It wasn't God's will for him to be in big meetings or to see great miracles or to see multitudes of villages move. It was God's will to raise that child and to raise up a family atmosphere and for it to be under the authority of God and everything to be done in the will of God. That business is going to be under God's authority. This home is going to be under God's authority. And we're going to worship God in the house of God according to the order of God. God. That's why God blessed this man. And you know what the Lord says? You'll never see all of it. You won't see the revival that you've always prayed for. But you know what? Without you, it would never have happened. You must do the will of God. You must walk through the nights of confusion. And you must obey my word. Let me close with the sixth and the last journey that we see Joseph make, an annual trip to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. We actually read of Jesus when he's 12 years old going up to Jerusalem. We read that Joseph every year led his mother and little Jesus, and I'm sure the other children, up to Jerusalem 70 miles. And he gets them all organized every year. You know why? They remembered blood sacrifice. Here is a man of a household, and he emphasizes the blood. This home is going to know it's by the blood of the Lamb. We're going to rejoice. We're going to feast around the blood of the Lamb. We're going to reverence the blood of the Lamb. We realize that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And do you remember when he went up there to Jerusalem and they're in the house of God? Joseph and Mary leave, and as they're journeying, they get one day's journey away from Jerusalem. And Joseph goes, where's Jesus? Where's the boy, the 12-year-old boy? For an entire day, they thought he's with family members. That shows they didn't pamper him. He's 12 years old. Where is he? What's he doing? Where are you? Where are you going now? 12 years old. They knew they could trust him.
That's right.
He was well trained by 12 years old. If you have to start training at 12, it's too late. Too late. You train these children when they're growing up, when they're young. 12 years old, they're going to do what they're going to do. And here's Joseph. They get scared. And he's worried. And he's frantic. And he's all in sorrow. And he's saying, where's the boy? 3 days later, they find him in Jerusalem. And they actually walk into the temple, and there's young Jesus sitting on all these great white-haired, bearded scholars. And we're actually told that Mary says, we've been looking for you. Did you not know that me and your father have been worried sick about you? Do you not know we are looking everywhere for you, trying to find you? Behold thy father. Now you know he wasn't the father, but Mary, they've got used, that's Papa. That's Daddy. That's your stepfather. You call him Daddy. And says, your father and I sought thee sorrowing. Listen to what he says. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or did you not know that I must be about my father's business? That wasn't carpentry. He's sitting there with scholars. Here's his stepfather's, a man with splinters all over his hand. A man who's worked hard. A man who's never preached or worked a miracle. Here he is. But Christ is saying, you're not my father. You're not my father. I've got a father and I'm obeying him. Can you imagine Joseph's heart? As he goes, after all of these years, really he isn't mine. I'm not his father. He is the son of God. When that man died, full of years, he died a man under authority, having done the will of God, fully completed God's will. Do you realize pulling a donkey, marrying, working hard, being faithful with your finance, that could be God's miraculous will for your life? Do you realize that that could be so vital that if you do not do it and walk under the authority of God, revivals won't happen? Remarkable things won't happen. He never got to see Christ's miraculous ministry. But two of his other sons, James and Jude, wrote two books in the New Testament. Both of them become apostles, preachers in the New Testament church, used greatly in their ministry. These two other sons of a carpenter, of a simple man from the countryside. Joseph was a simple man, an honest man, a hard-working man, a just man, a God-fearing man. But he was a man under authority. See, on this Christmas day, I believe God wants to speak to your heart and this church. We must be a church under authority to God, to His word, to the laws of the land, with respect one for the other. Our homes must be in order. Our finance and our business must be in order. And this church must be in order. I don't care if we don't see a miracle. And you know what I mean. I do pray for miracles. But that isn't the real issue. Are we, like Joseph, going to be a church under authority to God? Because I believe such a church can see a revival. Such church can birth apostles. Such churches can birth ministries that would change an entire nation. But will this be a church? And will you be members in this church under authority? Are you submitted to God's word? Are you obeying Him on this Christmas day? Are you simply a taker from this church? Are you a giver into this church? Are you coming here to give everything and to suffer with it? Are you grumbling, complaining, moaning, demanding your rights? Saints, I am telling you what I have lived, what I walked out to my own suffering and hurt. But I assure you, you will be blessed of heaven and God's will be revealed. Just keep pulling the donkey, saints of God. Get up, do the will of God. Say, I don't care what it means. I'll journey. I'll pull that old donkey, and the donkey's hard to pull. I can assure you, especially if it pulls in the opposite way. But I will do the will of God, and I will die in the will of God, and I will be submitted to His authority. Please stand with me this morning. Hallelujah.